A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative, Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month of her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judea town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." God's word is life.
I wonder what the fresh winds of the Holy Spirit seeks to let loose among us through this very particular story in Scripture that we gather around this morning. This poem by Mary Oliver might just offer us some clues for approaching this weird and wonderful story in Luke's Gospel. It's a poem she entitles Mysteries, yes? "Truly, we live with mysteries too marvelous to be understood. How grass can be nourishing in the mouths of lambs. How rivers and stones are forever in allegiance with gravity, while we ourselves dream of rising. How two hands touch and the bonds will never be broken. How people come from delight or the scars of damage to the comfort of a poem. Let me keep my distance always from those who think they have the answers. Let me keep company always with those who say, 'Look, and laugh in astonishment and bow their heads. Truly, she begins, truly we live with mysteries too marvelous to be understood. It is true, isn't it? Some things just elude our ability to figure out, to make sense of them. As frustrating as that might be to our curious minds, I don't believe that's a cop-out. I think it's the affirmation of someone who is deeply in touch with life, who has lived enough to discover the arrogance of imagining or insisting on an answer for everything. Truly, we live with mysteries too marvelous to be understood. I think that's the affirmation of someone, of any one of us, who has spontaneously wept with awe or known that experience, sometimes painful, of utter bewilderment, both having their way of imparting a reverence for life. So what about this story of these two impossible pregnancies, one in a body too old, the other in a body too young? One giving birth to a messenger announcing the arrival of hope, and the other giving birth to hope himself. Well, what if we took our lead from Mary and Elizabeth themselves, who wondered, to be sure, but chose the way of astonishment instead of answers, and kept company with each other, who said, look, and laughed, and sang, finally bowing their heads, honoring this outrageous possibility that God would bring to birth through them hope for the world? What if in and through the details of their story we allowed ourselves to hear the gospel writer announce, behold, I show you a mystery. In other words, look, be prepared to laugh, to bow your head. And what if in and through the details of this story we allowed the Spirit to address us, to speak into our own story? Who knows what Mary was up to when she was visited by the messenger? What we are given to see is that she's taken completely unawares, which is how it often goes. We're minding our own business when suddenly we're visited by a strength or insight or inspiration, perhaps. It's not something we went looking for, it just happens. In Mary's case, it's not at all clear what's happening, but her alarm is met with, well, a reassurance of sorts. Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. That language is interesting. We hear similar words at Jesus' baptism. This is my beloved Son, on whom my favor rests. It seems that to have found favor with God isn't about something we've done. It's about God choosing to be about something in us. In Mary's case, as in most every case, that something would be life-altering for her and for the world around her. And it's something that she would never have imagined for herself. I think those very details are significant for us to notice. I well recall a point in my own life when I was completely disoriented by a surprising turn of events. I was moving in a direction that I was feeling called to pursue when suddenly the way closed. I was utterly confused. I thought I had been paying attention. How could I be so taken by surprise? In the midst of this time of confusion, I walked one Sunday morning into a church And there that morning, the gospel reading was this very one that we have today. And hearing it, in an instant it clicked. Of course I will be surprised. Our tradition is shot through with stories of people being taken unawares, called and sent in directions they never anticipated. In Mary's story, the messenger brings a wild word. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You will name him Jesus, and he will be great and called the Son of the Most High. And this string of greats goes on and on and on. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. What? Young, unsuspecting Mary? What match is she for something so immense? Except so often that's the way. The Spirit moves, calls, and we hear the person, we hear ourselves say, but I'm too young, I'm too old, I don't know how to speak, I've got bad history. In other words, I don't have what it takes for what you ask. And always the response, I will be with you. You go, I will be with you. It's not about having what it takes. I will give you what you need. You are my beloved. My favor rests on you. As persuasive as that promise may be, it is for Mary and for every one of us to respond in full freedom. The way is always open for us to turn away, as it is for us to cross that threshold from what we have known to what will become of us. We're not given to see how Mary found her way to her yes, which is some of the beauty of this storytelling, the way the gaps make room for our imagination, for finding our own way. What we are given to see is that by the end of the scene, Mary and Gabriel have become partners in audacity. His outrageous invitation, her outlandish yes. She consents to this sacred strangeness, opens her heart, her being to it, and gathers herself around it. Notice before the messenger vanishes, Mary is told one more thing. Your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, also has conceived a son. In other words, you're not alone in this wild venture. The next we know, Mary makes her way to the home of Elizabeth, where young and old together, they have much to offer each other. Not the least of which is a place to affirm the reality of God's grace and call. Their companionship allows that to deepen and to be strengthened in them. God does not want to isolate us by God's grace, writes Henry Nouwen. For, of course, isolation is a very real possibility when we find ourselves called into new and strange ventures. God does not want to isolate us by God's grace. On the contrary, he says, God wants us to form new friendships, a new community, holy places where that grace can grow in fullness and bear fruit. Well, this morning, in just a few minutes, Herb and Barbara and Suzanne and Steve and Colleen will take their place right here. And together, all of us will enter into this ritual of welcome, as they take this outward step that signifies a desire, a commitment that has been kind of bubbling in them for a while now. To offer themselves to the wild winds of the Holy Spirit within the companionship of the people of this congregation, a place, a holy place, where the grace that is already at work in them can grow in fullness. It's the kind of thing Mary and Elizabeth intuitively knew so well and offered to each other. And so what if we imagined them alongside us this morning? Their joy, their encouragement, their knowing that they are not the only ones called to bring hope to birth in the world. For surely, in one form or another, that is the invitation, that's the astounding ministry that is offered to every one of us, young and unsuspecting, old and unsuspecting, to be agents, partners in audacity, helping God's dream for the world to flourish. May it be so among us. Amen.